that.
A bit.
So when are you, leaving? Is your flight tomorrow?
Yeah, my flight's at 11:10.
What time?
I'll tell you after I was going. 11:10.
And Brenda.
Oh, well, you could enter stuff until 10:30.
No, I think so.
Sandra and Brenda leave today, so we'll be rid of all of them.
That's why I was suggesting that we make them carry crap this morning.
We don't want to rob them of all the wonderful experiences.
They haven't had to carry anything the whole time they've been here.
You haven't made Christian carry anything?
I haven't had the true experience of Trinity. They haven't moved somebody.
Right. Or painted
anything. Or moved crap around.
They haven't gone to storage?
They haven't built anything? Brenda's husband, Chris, is Mr. Fix-It. He can fix anything, so I'm anxiously awaiting for him to come.
He can come clean up our motor pool.
What do you want to say over here?
Motor swamp.
So you married a fixer-upper?
No, she married a genius.
So did Judy.
Genius?
You're a genius. It's called mine.
She married a legend.
Legend in his own
mind. What was that line of Clint Eastwood? A legend in your own, in his own mind, or in your own mind? You started that one. Huh.
I take it back. I take it all back. What I would do.
After Bible study yesterday, it struck me that the reason in our society we don't understand idolatry is that we don't understand love. We have one word for which in the Greek there are six different words for. And we don't pay any attention to whether the word used in the scriptures is a noun or a verb. And so, you know, we think we can love all these other things and love God. So let's go to Matthew 22. See if we can shed some clarity on this. Because what you love is really your idolatry, as opposed to God. Matthew 22.
Close. Sounds like four.
Yeah, hey. Somebody give Mike a Bible, a Bible. Verse 36 says, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. In other words, everything in the law and the prophets is dependent on those two commandments. The problem herein is that the word for agape, which is divine love, the noun, and some of you have heard me talk about this before, was unique. It was only used, the noun agape was coined for the New Testament. And for a couple ancient Jewish translations, it was not used because it was inconceivable to the mind that there would be such a thing as agape or divine love. Because the gods in the Greek culture, they were capricious. They were like jokesters, always messing with your life.
Yep.
What? Are you confessing that you believe in Greek theology?
Just had an example of
what? No, I don't want to hear it. Never mind. But the verb here, in which is used here, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind, is a common word in ancient Greek. And it means whatever you give importance to, whatever you give breath to. And so the great commandment says, and this is why idolatry is directly related to the lack of love in the context. If I love, give breath to only the Lord, my God, and all and my all my heart and all my soul and all my mind, then it's impossible for me to give breath to anything else. I cannot give importance to my thoughts or my images or my hopes or my dreams if I'm following the great commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, and thy mind, and love thy neighbor. And the definition of neighbor is whoever is in need in, around you. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, and thy mind, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Because one is the other. The evidence that you love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind is that you will help your neighbor. You will love your neighbor. Because that's what everything is dependent on. That's why the poor we will always have with us. And so all of the things that we, and that I've been talking about idolatry, whether they're pillars or groves or green trees or all the rest of them, all the rest of the activity of your mind, you can see it can't, you can't love two things at the same time. So you shall give breath, love, only to the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Well, what happens if you don't? What happens if something grabs your attention? You can't do anything about it. You can't teach yourself to love. That's goofy. They just make you a Pharisee. The only thing you can do is leave yourself behind every time it happens. And that will cause the Holy Spirit to go deeper and deeper and deeper into the chambers of your temple so that you will see that the great commandment is the only commandment. That's why I say so often to you, just love God and have fun. But the love God is the issue. It's the verb, loving God, love God. Agapeo, common word, give breath to Him only. And everything else will be taken care of. And so everything that you, during the course of a day, give importance to instead of God, that is what is defined as your idolatry. Whether it's a belief system, then it's the pillars, or whether it's whatever grabs your attention. And you, in our culture, we can't conceive of abandoning or repenting something that gets our attention, because we're supposed to pay attention to what gets our attention. Does that communicate?
This goes right back to one of the most astounding things you ever told me about. It's this phrase, observe to do. The only way through what you just said is to see through it. See, let go. See through it. And when you see it, you do it. It's not the other way around. You can't use effort to do it.
And this is in line with what John said. He said, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. And it doth not yet appear what we will be, but we know that when we see Him, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. That's why what you hear is what you see. What you see is what you do. What you touch, you have dominion over. But what you eat is what gives you sustenance and satisfaction. Whether that is some poor victim kind of mentality, or it's, oh, the Cowboys won, or Olympics, or whatever it is, or your children's life, or you're gaining sustenance and satisfaction from anything, from accomplishments. Well, they all fade. There's like the flower and the grass. But the only thing you give importance to is that which doesn't change with time. So nothing can grab your attention. And you will then walk on that knife edge between soul and spirit, and you won't be affected by all the other crap that the world is affected by. And it's said again in Matthew 6, in the Sermon on the Mount. Let's go there, Matthew 6, in a different way. There's nothing in here that you can do. Is that... Agree that whatever you're doing is stupid. You can't do anything. You can't...
Yeah, even that great commandment, you can't love the Lord your God with all your heart. You can't do that.
Only He can. Yeah. But He is your life. That's why Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Yeah. And an abandonment to Him, that's what takes place.
And that's why my thoughts cannot be sweet.
And the flip side of the coin is true, too. What you do is what you'll see.
Right. What you hear is what you see.
And what you...
That's just axiomatic. That's tautological.
If I'm out to do this, then everything I see is going to be through that lens.
Right. That's why...
And I'll be deceived.
That's why anything that gets your attention and you put God's name on it causes nothing but deception, whether it's politics or, you know, some cause or... That's what, and you know something has gotten your attention because you're giving importance to it.
Or someone else comes against it and makes you mad.
Well, that's the test of the cross, the preaching of the cross. Or the meaning of first fruits. Or
being Gary.
All right, Matthew, what did I say, Matthew 6? Let's start in verse 25. Well, first of all, 24. No man can serve... Now, let's go to 22. I'm sorry. Shut up. The light of the body is the eye. If thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, which really says double... But if thine eye be double, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light, the supposed light that is in thee, be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for he will love the one and hate the other. And that's true at every second, at every nanosecond. You can't love two things. You can't give breath to two things at the same time. So everything that grabs your attention, whether it's your idea of what should be done next or anything, then something grabs your attention and you are loving God and mammon. Are you giving? See, love here is the verb too. You're giving breath to the secondary thing, and so that you have made it, you have created it, you have made whatever that thing is into something that is in competition with God. And He's a jealous God. So the only requirement that you have is what anybody with any kind of, you know, any kind of integrity will see, is that this life is empty and vain. You have to con yourself to believe all the hype. You knew it when you were teenagers. Some people didn't reach teenagehood until 50, but because you saw through the value system of your whoever gave you whatever value system you had, but then you sold out. That's why
you knew it wasn't really their value system, too. You knew it was hypocrisy.
Well, the point of it is that, you know, that God has put 1,000 obstacles in your path your entire life. Your boss, your wife, your husband, your failure, your ideas, your senses of hopelessness, your aloneness, hoping that you would stop and inquire of Him so that you can love Him alone and therefore have completeness. But you instead of you know, seeing the end of it, you are wearied in the greatness of your way, yet you say, it's not, there is no hope. Aha! I go up to the mountain, and I run, rub two sticks together, and I take a little bit of this and a little bit of that and mix it in a cauldron, and I've got a new idea. And so it's, you are wearied in the greatness of your way, but you say, not, there is no hope, for you found the life of your own hand. And it goes on and on and on, over and over and over. And then it says, walk in the sparks that you have kindled, and this shall you have of mine hand. You shall lie down in sorrow. But the world system, it elevates this idea of ideas. I mean, it's what you, an ambition. All ambition is leaven, and it's just goofy. What are you, I'm going to be ambitious so you can die? Yeah. And so, but what's keeping you locked down into the lower levels of life is that you're loving, you're giving breath to something other than the Father. And then you wonder why, oh, it doesn't work. This doesn't work. No, you don't work, but you think you do. Can we get our attention? No, let's... No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Let's see which gets your attention now. You cannot serve God and mammon. And mammon, again, it's that's a word which means whatever you may have confidence in at that moment. Whatever you got in your attention, it wouldn't have gotten your attention if you didn't have some, you didn't give it some confidence. Right? Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Behold the fowls of the air, for they neither sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? And which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? I've been trying to get Josanna and Sue to grow a few inches, and it just doesn't work. Yeah. And why take you thought for clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in his all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Now, again, there's a principle of exegesis. They just covered food, drink, and clothing and shelter. That's the basic elements of your life. And then it said, well, it doesn't say anything there about the timetable for the door or my schedule for my work or whatever else you can bring into the equation. But if it the idea of the exegesis is that if something covers the very basics that are necessary for life, it obviously includes everything else. So there's nothing to take thought for. Capisce? Understand? Especially anything like the future or the past. Because the gift of God is eternal life. Now! Now is the accepted time. And now is only the accepted time. It's never now plus a second or now plus a day or a week. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Because it's the eternal now. In any place other than now, then you're giving breath to something other than God. You're trying to put him where he isn't. He's not in your past, or he's not in the future. in any given, he has been and is, will be in everything, but in this moment, you're taking him to a creation of your own mind, and he's not in that creation of your own mind. Does that clear? Whether it's past or future.
I'm thinking about Paul, who said he purposed his weakness, because you don't always feel down and out, broken. It's just not a continuum necessarily. But
who doesn't? Somebody that here doesn't feel that way?
I do.
Well,
Paul, I don't think, did, and that's what I think the scripture's about.
Well, you remember what the thorn in flesh was? It was this eye disease that was just pus oozing, swollen redness, mind-blowing pain. It's like he had a knife in his eye all the time.
Yeah.
He wasn't ever aware of his strength.
But what is that scripture about then? Where he said, I purpose my weakness.
Well, because he didn't play games with his mind and convince himself he could do something.
Yeah.
But he knew his weakness. He knew his flesh was grass. He knew his mind was nothing. That's why any time he used him as a subject of his sentence, he said, I speak as a fool.
It seems that the moment the word I is formed.
Yeah, that's why I said.
You're double-minded. That's it.
The new song that believers sing is the song without the I motive. That's why I get a kick out of the religious songs that are being written now. I mean, all of them are about me, and I give you all the glory, God. And it's just,
there's no place for that word.
No, the new song is that you, and the transformation is the loss of the I motive. And if you lose the I motive, then all the other crap that you think you're dealing with goes away. But can you see how this love, meaning the verb love, the agapeo, giving breath to, is what happens when it goes away if there's the slightest idolatry, slightest value system that's in competition with it because of its, and it's the humility of God and the Father and the Spirit, I mean God and the Son and the Spirit, that He cannot occupy where you are. He can't fight your efforts. He could if He wanted to, but it would violate His will. That's why this night of the last day has lasted 2,000 years, because he's waiting patiently for his people to sit down and be at rest and be in peace, that there might be silence in the temple. Not all this crap that goes on in your mind. All right.
Do you want to relate this to love your brother as yourself, the summary of the law?
Yeah, it's because you cannot, if Christ is your life, then as he is in this world, so are we. So if he sees someone in need, he'll meet the need. He'll do whatever is possible to meet the need of that person at the expense of his own life even. So it's Christ in you, again, the hope of glory. You're not the subject any longer because you accepted your death. It's not that you're trying to die. My God, the human race died on the cross 2,000 years ago. This thing that we are, it's just goofy. But that's not, we got to get this one verse before I run out of time. Why am I doing that?
Take away the obstacles.
Help.
Orchestra.
Seeing things.
I kept getting airy guys that are attacking me. Birds of the airy guys.
We don't want him to get to his point.
But, verse 32, for all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore take no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Redeeming the time, for the days are evil. You redeem the time by seeing only eternity at all times. But the things, seek ye first the kingdom of God. It's not just first and then there's a second. Because at every moment, it's either first in time, first in order, first in classification, first in importance. And it's in the tense that means it never stops. I'm seeking first the kingdom of God during today, but then in order for me to live my life, I've got to do all these other things. No, then you're left to your own devices, and the Holy Spirit becomes your enemy, as some of you know a great deal about. And that's a blessing. What?
Oh, I'm just thinking that one way to read that is, okay, I'll start out the day with my prayer time. I'll spend some time with the Lord. I'll seek the kingdom first, and then I will go about through my day anointed, and my thoughts and my actions and my deeds will have God's blessing as I pursue.
Well, that is the religion of Babylon, because from you have that prayer time, and then it sanctifies everything else, but the rest of the day you live in cause and effect. And so there's no faith. But the point of today's is the idea that you can see why idolatry is so, and what idolatry is. It's anything other than loving the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, your neighbor as yourself. Now, only He, Christ, can do that. So, therefore, the only thing you're doing is getting out of the way. You're just being. But the minute you try to be, or the minute you're conscious of yourself, you don't. Oh, I'm sorry I did that. No, it's just a reminder to the Father that you've resurrected the evil one. From the Father, that you've resurrected the evil one. And the evil one isn't somebody over there. The evil one is you. The way of the snake, constantly. So, bottom line, simple. Love the Lord, love God, and have fun. And quit taking yourself so goddamn seriously. It's just boring. What? What are you laughing at, little shit? Hey, I'm talking to you. Anybody have any response?
I think all the visitors should say something.
Especially if they're
short time or something. Last words.
That's so boring.
That's so boring.
If they want to say something, they can. But.
And then he really expects them to say something. Sit back and watch us.
I dare you to say something. Make my day.
I think we should hold hands.
Yes. Is this walking by out?
I'm serious. Nobody has any thoughts to any of this.
I do, but I feel like I've been talking too much this week.
Well, I always feel you always talk too much. But
only.
I became self-conscious.
I talk too much.
I'm in a good mood for a change.
Think I can spoil it?
Well, it's like the mind of... Oh, you always do. The mind of Christ waits. Just waits. And the Father does something. The mind of me has to do something.
What would Aaron do?
Everything has to be grasped. It has to, as opposed to just wait for it. The Father will take care of it.
That sounds like a lot, that what would Harry do sounds a lot like that disease that they give him Ritalin for, you know? What if we could cure Harry by giving, what if we could cure the Harry guys by giving him Ritalin?
How about Quaaludes? Half of one, half a Quaalude every 4 hours.
Prozac.
Hey, or chopped vegetables, that's very calming.
Or cauliflower.
But not tofu. All right, take a big guy.